Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back with you. I was gone last week. Brad got me hooked up with a church that doesn't have a pastor, and so I was out there preaching. It was my home church where I first heard the gospel, so I got to see some people that got really old while I was away. Anyway, Bobby knows what that's like, I'm sure. Praise the Lord. I shouldn't be trying to be a clown. My kids always said, if you ever quit being a pastor, Dad, you could always be a comedian, you know, or something like that. But I want to be serious for a moment. When Chrissy was pouring out her heart up there, I just want to ask you a question. We're here to talk about worship, right? I just want to ask you something. How many of you felt it? Look at that. How many of you felt it? That's not emotion. Let me just read something to you out of the Old Testament, okay? I wasn't going to share this. This is not my message, but I just want you. This is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 1-year-old lambs each day continuously. One lamb you shall offer in the morning and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. And I will meet there with the sons of Israel, and it shall be consecrated by my glory. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, what's that mean? You know, when there's a lamb being offered before the Lord, that lamb's burning every day and every night. There was a lamb burning all the time before the Lord. Something rising up and the air around the tent of meeting, you could smell that lamb burning. You could see that lamb burning. And how did I relate that to Chrissy? I don't know. The Holy Spirit seemed to relate to it. I said, there, I felt like the Lord said, there's a lamb that's burning. That's what I like to see when my people gather. Someone who's burning for me. Someone who's giving it all to me and pouring out their life for me. And when that happens, God says, I will meet with you there. I will meet all of the sons of Israel right there when that lamb burns before me. Amen? I don't know, that was just something I heard as I was in worship this morning. Now, Rusty's coming a little later. I'm not going to leave him out of this. Everybody's glad, aren't you? I'm happy to hear him too. I felt like whenever we got together weeks ago, this was a TBD day, a to-be-determined day. Well, it didn't take too long. We were standing there, and worship came up. And I had been having a thought on worship for the last few years, but just never had a chance to inject it anywhere. And as soon as Hogan jumped up, and, you know, Hogan's kind of laid back. He doesn't like to tell you exactly what he thinks. And so Hogan jumped up and said, really, I'd like to hear something on worship. And I said, now, that's a good idea. I've been feeling that too. So it was pretty well unanimously considered. We all talk about worship today. And then same time, we thought about Rusty because he's over here always worshiping his brains out. And we thought maybe good to include him in this. So I'm not going to take the whole time. I'm going to watch my time here and be as succinct as I can to share with what God's given me. So let's get started, all right? Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I pray you'll keep me focused and directed today, Lord, on just the things you'd like for me to share. And I pray that you'll bless this time. And it'll be something that will move in our hearts, Lord, throughout our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the subject this morning of worship spans the entire Bible. If someone wants to know my text, it starts in Genesis and ends at the end of Revelations, okay? It's evident in the sacrifices offered to God throughout the early years, even before the law was given, people worship God. They did all kinds of things that pleased God, and they were always thinking about God and worshiping Him. It was written in the law of Moses how to worship Him. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I already did one. And it's witnessed in the lives of godly men and women. All the way through the Bible, you see things happening. I'm going to just name a couple here. You remember Jacob. I always liked that scripture. I knew I had to throw this in somewhere. Jacob leaned on his staff and worshiped. Well, I always thought, what? He was, you know, it'd be like me. Jeff got in his car and drove off and worshiped, you know, or something like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we're rounding up sheep or we're herding cattle and I was standing there and I worshiped. You know, it's not like something you have to go and perform a lot. It's an attitude of heart. It's something that I don't know how to describe it, but I can see all kinds of things in there. Here's another one. Hannah. You remember Hannah? Samuel's mother, first chapter of 1 Samuel, she poured out her heart to the Lord. And old Eli, he was looking at her and he said, well, she's drunk. She wasn't drunk. She was pouring out her heart to the Lord. She was crying out to God for a son. Another thought there on worship. Then David. How about David? Look at the Psalms. I mean, he was constantly going through all kinds of stuff, crying out to the living God. You know, I love those Psalms that start out where he's in trouble. He's in all kinds of a mess. And before the Psalm's over with, he's just happy in Jesus. He's happy in God. And you don't know if anything changed or not, but he's happy all of a sudden. It's just like he got in God's presence. You know, he started out as a suffering person going through turmoil and triumph, and he's pouring out his heart to God. And then God just steps down and gives him a whole new perspective on everything, right? In his place of worship. That's what I see anyway. So it's evident in heaven also where the angels who surround the throne of God are crying, holy, holy, holy. You know, I just discovered something. In my Bible, Isaiah 6. I don't know if you're familiar with Isaiah 6, but that's where Isaiah, it was in the year King Uzziah died, the Bible says, and he had this, he was like he was lifted up in the heavens open, and he saw these seraphim, not cherubim. There's a good land, you got the, whoa. I'm not used to this technological world, folks. I want you to know that. Here's my notepad, notebook, whatever. There goes my notes. Anyway, it was in the year that King Uzziah died, the Bible says, and he saw the Lord. Now, Jewish people think you can't see the Lord, and I don't know why they go over these scriptures like this. There's lots of places where people saw the Lord, and Isaiah saw the Lord, okay? And he saw these seraphim that were around the throne, and they had six wings. Six wings. And I can't remember. If you want to move it, we can read the rest of that. Go to the next verse, I guess. Or yeah. Yeah. Above him stood the seraphim. Now, does anybody know the definition of a seraphim? If you knew the Hebrew definition of do you know the Hebrew definition of seraphim? It means burning ones. Isn't that interesting? Burning ones. You know, God loves fire. He plays with matches. He plays with fire. He plays with fire. I keep my grandsons out of the drawer where I keep the matches because there's one of them that likes to play with fire. But God loves fire. The Bible says in Hebrews that God is a consuming fire. That's right. He loves fire. Something about fire that's consuming. Something about fire that takes it all. If you ever burn trash, you watch it. It all disappears and turns into ash. God loves fire. He purifies our hearts with fire. the Bible says. There's something about fire, and these things are called burning ones, and they had six wings. Yeah. Six wings, two covered his face, two covered his feet, and two he flew, and one called out the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's what he said. Now, if you go over to Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to mess these guys up. You go over to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, I believe it is, you'll find out that they saw these guys again. They saw these angels again. They had six wings, and they were crying out the same thing. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." But you know what? They changed their tune a little bit. They said, "Who was and who is and who is to come." A further revelation of God. Back then, it was the whole earth was full of his glory. It is. Nothing changed except there was a newer revelation of God. Who was, he is, and he is to come. All right, well, I just thought I'd throw that in about the worship around the throne. Worship of one true God is the theme of the entire Bible. I believe that. I know it's about sin, it's about holiness, it's about all that stuff too, but I think it's just the thing about all of it is to worship God. I think there's even a creed that says our whole duty in life is to worship and enjoy God. Amen? Beautiful thought. Now I want to get a little more specific. If you would, turn in your Bible. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm not there yet. I got to move along here real quick. There are seven or eight words that express praise in the Scriptures. Praise and worship is two different things in the Bible. You know, when Jacob leaned on his staff and worshiped, he didn't have to have a praise service before he did that. He just worshiped. But praise seems to be, according to things I've studied in the past, and I couldn't find those things, there's seven or eight words that express praise in the Scriptures. Seven or eight words that are doing words. Giving thanks is praise. Singing, that's the one we lean on a lot. Singing is praise. Shouting. You heard me shout a little bit this morning. I do that every once in a while. Yep. Okay. Clapping your hands. We did a little bit of that this morning too. That's sort of spontaneous. Dancing. Some of us haven't got to that level yet, have we? I kind of do a little of this stuff once in a while, you know, the shuffle. All of these express praise to God, extolling his greatness. That movement, I've often thought, there's one word in the Bible, Rusty will know this word, and I can't remember what it is, but it's twirling. What is it, Rusty? Twirling what? It's twirling wildly. That's what it is. Twirling wildly before the Lord, you know? Now, you got to get out of the way of people like that. And some of us would stand back and say, "Now, that can't be God." I mean, I've asked myself, God, why would people have to make such craziness out of themselves to praise you? And I found myself thinking like this. I watch children because Jesus told us about kids, that we're to be like kids. And have you ever noticed little kids will get up here and they'll twirl and do stuff, you know? They'll act, and they're oblivious to what you think and what you say. Their focus is somewhere else. And I wondered if God doesn't do that to help us to focus on just him. He gets all the intimidation off of us. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to start dancing. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just telling you that's in the Bible. Praise him with the dance. Praise him with the lyre and the instruments. Praising. There were so many things in the Bible about praise, seven or eight different definitions for praise. But then I found out there's only one word for worship in the Old Testament. There's one word that had to do with the worship of God, not the worship of man, the worship of idols, but the worship of God. And I really got confused when I got the definition of this word. It's a word that means to bow down and to entreat and to ask, literally to beg like a dog. That puzzled me. I thought, well, God, you don't want us always just asking you for stuff. why would it be like that? And then sort of a thought came to me. What have you and I got to offer God other than just ourselves? We have nothing. And in worship, you're offering yourself to God. You're contemplating, and what we see with the angels, you're contemplating the greatness and the magnificence of God. And suddenly, everything gets in perspective of who you are and who He is. And there's nothing left to do but to bow down in front of the God and say, oh God, like Isaiah said, my lips are unclean. I don't know what to do with myself. Help me, God. That's kind of the way it looks. Praise brings us into His presence. And once we are there, we worship. We realize who He is. We get to bring Him our deepest needs, knowing that we have nothing and He is everything. Now, I want to give you a little illustration of that in the Bible, and then I'll quit. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to Exodus 34, many of you know Moses was a man of God, and he needed God to help him. He had a bunch of rebellious people to bring from one place to another. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 9. I'm going to read this real quickly. Exodus 34, 5 through 9. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. And Moses, verse 8, and Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and do thou pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as thine own possession. We see an illustration of what I just tried to say in a few words there, in this story, I believe. The Bible says the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him. Think about that. Here's Moses in this cloud. Some of us live in a cloud, don't we? You know, and when you're in that cloud, you don't know what to do. You can't see, you know, what's happening. The Bible says the Lord came down and stood there with him. And when the Lord came down and stood with him, what was Moses doing? It says he called out. He's calling out the name of the Lord. Now, some of us don't really understand what calling out the name of the Lord is. What Moses was doing, and I believe what that phrase is telling us, is that Moses was calling out everything that he knew about God. Isn't that what we do in our time with God? We just say everything that we know about God. And God came down and revealed to Moses more about who he was. You know, that whole section we read there in verse 6 and 7, I mean, that was quite a revelation. I've always loved that what God said there. The first thing he said was, I'm the Lord God. Now, to us, that doesn't mean a whole lot, but when God revealed himself as Lord to Moses, it means he revealed himself as Redeemer. And then the next thing, I'm a Redeemer God. Because that's just what he had done. He had redeemed Israel from Egypt. He had brought them out of Egypt. That's basically what that Lord say. I'm the one. I'm Lord over Pharaoh. I'm the Redeemer. of Israel, basically. And then the next thing he says is compassionate and gracious. I remember reading that many, many years ago, and I said, God, if I want to be like you, I'm going to have to learn that. I'm going to have to learn compassion and grace. I haven't learned it very well, but I am trying. I am asking for that. Well, anyway, we don't have time to go into all that, but God shows up with Moses and gives him a greater revelation of who he is. And when Moses heard this revelation, what was it he did? It says he hurried himself and got down as low as he could and worshiped. There's the bowing. I like the fact that it put in there, he bowed toward the earth. He didn't lift his head to heaven, but he bowed towards the earth. He's basically saying, I'm of the earth. There's none like you. There's nothing here on earth like you. Oh, David said that one time. He said, who am I of heaven but thee? There's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. David was worshiping God. And so he bowed towards the earth. And then Moses asked God. This is when he did the asking, the entreating. He asked God to go along with Israel as they travel. Please go with us. I've got a bunch of obstinate people here. Would you go with us? You know what? We're all pretty obstinate, aren't we? Now, don't take offense if you're not. But I've seen my obstinance in life, and I know, you know, and that's a great area to repent of in front of God. And God just knew what Moses was asking, and so he did. He went with them. Last thing I want to share is this. You know, when it comes to the New Testament, there's not a lot of stuff. How many know there's not a lot of stuff in the New Testament to teach us how to worship? Right? You know that? Doesn't tell us what to do. You know why? Because people of the New Testament thought we could read the Old Testament and figure out what to do. About praise and worship. But Jesus did say this. Jesus said, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We all got that down real good, don't we? Now, do we know what that means? I have to ask God, what does that mean? Spirit and truth. And I gave you this little paradigm to think about worship. To worship, it has the Spirit. Well, we need his presence. I just said we need God's presence to really worship him. He's got to show us who he is. He's got to give us revelation of who he is. Not just once, not just twice, but many times when we show up, we need revelation of who he is. And the truth is us expressing our deepest need in the midst of his revelation, opening up our hearts. It could be repentance. Repentance is expressing your deepest need. Repentance is opening your heart up to God. And friends, let me just say this. Without his presence, I don't think we would really know how to repent or what to repent of. So do we need his presence? Yes, we need his presence daily. If we're going to be like that lamb burning morning and night, we need the presence of God there to speak to us, to talk to us. That's so important. Okay, this is a tag team sermon. I tag my companion and friend over here. Come ahead, brother.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to expand on a couple of things Jeff said, but also go a little different direction. And I have to give a little disclaimer before I start. Am I good on the mic distance here? I'm always worried about I'm going to get it in the right spot here. I am giving myself to the Holy Spirit to help me get what he wants to get said here this morning. The Holy Spirit's been called upon way before we got here. So I'm just giving you a warning. There may be some spontaneous singing, laughing, weeping. I cannot promise you a dignified message this morning. Is that all right? And that's just who I am. Like Leonard Ravenhill said, I'm neither proud nor ashamed of this. This is who I am, and I am thankful for who I am in the Lord, and I rejoice in that, and that's it. Okay, Lene, here you go, girl. If I pick you out, don't be embarrassed, but I was talking to her earlier. I said, I can't tell you what I'm going to do this morning, but I have to start with a question, and this is the question. Who is like our God? No one at all. Who is like our God? Now, come on, folks. Who is like our God? And this song has been in my heart for like 3 days. I've been listening to this song nonstop pretty much for 3 or 4 days. I mean over and over and over and over and over. I am laughing so hard, and you're going to find out why in a little bit here. I am just laughing. Who is like our God? And I've got this saying at home, you know, when somebody wants to know something, I say, well, he's of age, ask him. You know, that's from the Bible. When the guy that was blind from birth and Jesus healed him, and he said, I don't know, I didn't even see the guy, but all I know is I was blind, now I see. And then his parents, and they said, well, he's of age, ask him. So I've got this thing. So let's just look at the Word of God. We'll let the Word of God speak for the Lord on this. Is that all right? Isaiah, and I don't expect you guys to chase me down here on this. Isaiah, there goes Alice to the floor there. Sorry, Alice. Now I lost it. Isaiah 40. Verse 18, and this would be a familiar verse. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Who is like our God? Who are you liken him to? To whom will you compare him? Well, guess what? We have a lot of resources for study. I looked up the word compare. How many has ever studied the word compare in the Bible? I never have. But this is what it means. Oh, my goodness. It means to line them up in a row. So we're going to get all the gods. Dagon's going to be in that line, all right? We're going to get him in a line. As everybody knew who Dagon is, he was a Philistine god. It ended up on his face when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in there to humiliate him. And guess who won that one there? He's on the floor on his face. We're going to line these gods up over here and see if we can compare our God to the rest of the gods of this world, whoever they are. Well, guess what, Jeff? There's one over there. His face shines like the sun. His head and his hair is white like wool. His eyes are fire. There's this two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And his feet are like bronze, fresh out of the furnace, purified. And he's got these seraphim flying around. Two hands, they cover their eyes. I know. Two hands, they cover their eyes. They're flying. They're saying, holy, holy, holy. Why are they saying holy, holy, holy? Because they're saying, who is like our, there's nobody like him. There is none can be compared to him. Not only that, there's a fire going out around him. I'm on the same page with you, Jeff. I was laughing so hard. God's in line with all these other gods, and the rest of them are like falling on their face. They're catching on fire because the fire goes before him and devours his enemies. And all these other gods are going up in smoke. Holy, holy, holy. There's no one like him. That means he's one of a kind. One of a kind. There's no one like him. Amen to that. Okay. Psalm 113. I'm going to read most of these I'm just going to reference as I go. Psalm 113, I want to read the whole thing. Please. King James, sorry. You guys hang in there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants, to the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? You know, that's in the Bible a lot. Who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy up out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh that barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. There's a mouthful right there, but listen, guys. Let me get my... I'm like Jeff. Here you go. I'm with you. I'm not a big high-tech guy here. I'm going to be mixing in a little bit, if I can do this, some personal experiences in my journey of praising the Lord. I want to just say a couple things real quick. Praising the Lord to me, number one is I am madly in love with this God. I am madly, madly in love with Jesus. And I've been on the floor on my face in many places weeping and groaning. And I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I'm not proud of. I have a relationship with this God. And sometimes that's just what it looks like. It's Hallel. I'm going to expand on some of the words Jeff mentioned for praise. I'm going to expand on that. And these are tools. These are things when you understand this, you know, if you go to the restaurant and order something, they're going to give you what you ordered. You know, if the king wants a porterhouse over medium there or whatever, over medium, you know what I mean? You know, you're going to give him what he ordered. So God has given us some instructions in his word, and a lot's in the Psalms, of how he would like to be praised. And this is how I have structured my approach to God for years. And it is so liberating. It's so fun to discover these things and realize that, God, this is how he wants us to be. You know, I may look like I'm out of my mind, but I'm not. That's a good place to say, amen. You're right, brother. You're not out of your mind. I don't have a bad attitude. I don't care what anybody thinks. I only want to give myself to the Lord. And hang on right there, right there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy by the blood of Jesus, and acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service. Listen, this is talking about specifically about priestly service. We are priests and kings in the kingdom of God. We serve the Lord as priests, brother, keeping the fire going. We have a privilege of priesthood. That's where praise is coming from. We are ordained and authorized to come into his presence because of the blood of Jesus, to praise him, to worship him, to adore him, to cry out to him, to shout to him, to lay on the floor, and you know, all of that is it's a privilege and a responsibility we have as priests of God. So I'm going to throw that in there, but this is a relationship I have. And it's out of love. I'm madly in love with this God. Like, oh, what's your name? So I'm in love with God. He's in love with me, and that settles it. That's it. That's the way it is, right? Or something like that. Or I'm in love with this God. The greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If that's the greatest commandment, then the worst sin ought to be not loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does anybody agree with that? Let's talk about that for a minute. We ain't got time for that. Okay, you guys, help me, Lord. Okay. I am doing good. Who is like our God? I'm telling you, I've been laughing for a couple days about this whole thing of lining them up. You know, like I'm just picturing God trying to hide. He says, "All right, let's make this fair, okay? Let's let everybody have a fair chance." God's over there. Everything around him's catching on fire, and these angels are flying around. And holy, holy! There's none like one of a kind. One of a kind. There's never been anyone like him. Never will be. He is the God. He's our Creator, our Redeemer. He owns us because he created us. We belong to him. We belong to him because he bought us with his own blood. We are his possession. And good for us. We're blessed. Amen? Okay. Psalm 113, a couple of verses here I want to pick on here. The Lord is high, verse 4, above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high? He is up here so high. I mean, you know, how high is it? We don't have an idea. We don't even know how big the planets are. By the way, you talking about, where are you at, you girls? Spinning, whirling, twirling wildly, it will make your face shine. I had to throw that in there. We are spinning and whirling and twirling in praise. It's a dance before the Lord. My wife just pointed out, all the planets are spinning, whirling, and twirling wildly. Come on. It's part of creation's praise. So it's all right to get up in the congregation of the saints, which the Bible says, well, it's okay to praise the Lord when you're in the congregation of the saints, spinning, whirling, twirling wildly, it will make your face shine, trust me. It's a joyful, joyful event. Okay, this God is so high, he's above the heavens. He is above. We don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Maybe you do, but I have no idea how high this God is. What did he do? He has to humble himself just to look down at the creation he made, the heavens and the earth. I blew my mind when I read that once. I was like, what? He called it good. He called it very. He has to humble himself just to look down at it because he's that high. But guess what? He did. He looked at it. Not only did he look at it, but he looked all the way through it to the bottom. And that's where he picks up the broken in spirit and the contrite in heart. He scoops them up, puts them back together. Who is like our God? Who is like our God? He takes these poor boys and he says, I'm going to set them up and let them hang out with princes. That's talking about taking them up in the deepest despair and setting them up in the kingdom of God. Who is like our God? What motivates us? God is our object of praise. I've got to make my notes here. Who's the object of our praise? Our God, the creator God, the living God, the one true God, the only living God, who is surrounded by praise day and night. Even though it's a note here, even though there is no night in heaven, as far as we know, it does say they praise him day and night. Maybe that's just to help us get the idea. It's going on, okay? All right. He humbles himself and he raises up the poor. Who is like our God? I'm saying, okay, let's get on there. Why do we praise the Lord? Okay, this one here is going. I'm going to get a little personal. Why do we praise the Lord? First of all, because he's worthy. And the Bible lays out he's worthy because he overcame. He's worthy because he has redeemed us and was slain. And he's worthy because he has created all things. And he created all of them for his pleasure. You're all here for his pleasure. Amen to that. He's worthy. This word worthy means he's deserving. It's suitable to praise him. But Strong's puts a little note in there. If you look it up in Strong, it says, as if to draw praise. Oh. My wife, if you have any questions about any details, I sure ask my wife because I never exaggerate. I really don't, and it's the truth. But I spent months of my life, I couldn't repeat the genealogy of David from Obed to Ruth to Jesse to David. I couldn't speak it without weeping. I was sitting on a plane coming home from Colorado. I'm sitting there, you know, I'm all by myself, and I'm weeping because I've rehearsed this genealogy in my mind of Obed to Ruth to Jesse to David, the king of Israel. Because a little girl at a conference had prophesied over me and said, I believe God wants you to study the life of David when he was king. And I spent the rest of my life so far doing that, okay? There's no touching how deep praise is. And it's our life. It's our life. He's worthy. This drawing thing, help me, Lord. It's like I have sensed this at times so keenly that when I say the word destroyed, I mean it in a good way, but it destroyed me. It wiped me out. I was laying on the floor, exhausted from whirling and twirling wildly, praising the Lord until I had nothing left. I mean, I'm just gave it everything I had. And I laid on the floor, and I was just, oh, God. And I felt this draw coming from the throne of God. Praise, praise, more, more. It's almost like this big vacuum going, oh, just waiting for somebody to answer the call. That's draw, this draw to praise. When he enters the room, what happens to you? Oh. When you smell his fragrance come in the room, it's like, oh, my beloved. Ask my wife. I know, guys, I know I'm a pretty handsome guy, all right? Let's just be honest. I'm a pretty good-looking fella. But what drew this lovely lady, my wife, 30 years we've been married. How about that? She came, and the thing, I was friends with her mom and dad a long time before. we ever got together. Here's what my wife liked about me. And like I said, I'm neither proud nor ashamed of this, and I'm so thankful for it. We'd be at a family gathering. You guys know what they were doing, playing games, eating and carrying on and stuff. I was the youth pastor there at Maranatha and Lagodi, and I would just find myself off to the side just in the presence of the Lord, just by myself, just quietly weeping, communing with my Heavenly Father, letting the Holy Spirit come and move in me. And that was my distraction. I wasn't distracted by some sports or a movie or a game or anything. I was distracted by the Holy Spirit. I got one thing going on, and that's you, Lord. I got nothing. I don't watch movies. I don't care if you watch a movie. That's okay with me. But I fast and pray. I worship the Lord, and I studied the Word, and that's all I do. That's all I did. You know, back then it was like until I had a family, then I had to go to work. By the way, one of the words for work in Hebrew, the word worship, one of them involves work. Work. Everything is to the Lord. Everything you touch, that's victory at work, my friends. That's victory at work. Isn't that right, Sam? Got to get back here. Okay. All right. There's so many verses for this. But why? Because He is good and His mercies endure forever. That's why we praise the Lord. Because He is good. It has nothing to do with how you're having a good day or a bad day. He is good and His mercies endure forever. Over and over and over. That's throughout the Word. That's why we praise the Lord. He's worthy. And, okay, good job. All right. When do we praise the Lord? Duh. All the time. All the time. And, you know, songs, I used to teach children this. Songs are given to us as tools. I think, you know, God lets you write a song and to give me a tool so I can take and use it and pour it through my heart and offer it to the Lord in my way that is meaningful to me. But it just enables us. And like, where'd I go here? The tools, the songs. The words in the song are like exploding, and like Missy Edwards got that song, even though I sleep, that's what I'm saying, okay, when I'm awake, I'm praising the Lord. What happens when I go to sleep? If you don't know Missy Edwards' song, let me just sing a little bit for you, all right, here. Though I sleep, my heart is awake. Though it's night, on you I wait. What a way to go to bed at night. Lord, I got to rest this body, but I want you to know my heart is awake, and I'm waiting on you. Come and speak to me tonight, Lord. This thing, day and night, it's this going on all the time. It's never ending. Help us, Lord. There's the praising the Lord. I'm telling you, when this draw vacuum gets over your life, you're done. You are done, my friend, because I'm just telling you, I praise the Lord all the time. I mean, I do. I can't help it. I have to do this all times continually. Okay, I'll bless the Lord at all times. What does that word all mean in Hebrew, Jeff? I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. The word continually, you guessed it. It means continually, unceasing. God is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And they're constantly singing this in heaven. It's going. This is. By the way, heaven's noisy. It's a noisy place. Amen. Okay, I'm doing good. All right, here. All right. I want to have some fun with you here. Try to. If you've been walking with the Lord very long, you know what? Just forget about trials. That whole realm of trial, I'm going through hard stuff. I'm not making fun of it. Don't mean it that way at all. We got them. Sometimes we got a bunch of them. Sometimes we got a few of them. Stop right there and listen to what Jesus said. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. That's enough for me right there. If I live a life of self-denial, I'm in constant trial. Are you with me? I'm thinking, you know, sometimes I don't know what's going on with me. And forgive me, just talk to my wife about this. But I don't realize how I live because I live like that. I'm constantly denying myself, and I want him, and so I'm constantly praising him and worshiping him from a place of self-denial. And it's powerful. And I like it. I like it. Okay. Jenna. This is how I fight my battles. I'm telling you something. Ow! Whoa! This is how I fight my battles. Give me that, Brick. Give me that. I'm in covenant. There's a table. You prepared for me. Forgive me for saying I can't help it. There's a table. You prepared for me. In the presence of my enemies. This is so funny, folks. Come on, my friends. This is hilarious because God said, I'm going to commune with you, and the enemy's just going to have to watch while we enjoy intimate fellowship. While we rejoice over the victory I've established in the covenant I've made with you through the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy's just got to watch. I like that. I like that a lot. Because my Lord is glorified and I'm helped. Okay, the battle. Jehoshaphat. I'm hoping you know at least a little bit about Jehoshaphat. I can't go through all these stories. I'm holding back. I want to sing it, but I'm holding back. You know what I'm talking about. My family said, don't do it. Don Francisco, Jehoshaphat. Look it up, please. You'll love it. Okay. Whoever heard, Brian Peak, where are you at, buddy? You're a military man. God bless you and respect to all of you military guys. I mean that. Who's going to go to battle against Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir? Three armies gathered against him, getting ready to take his stuff. And, you know, Jehoshaphat says, well, I really don't know, Lord, what we're going to do, but our eyes are on you. They fasted and prayed. I know what we're going to do. Singers. You know what they were singing. Praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. How many have never heard that song? Oh my goodness. That's okay, Don Francisco. They went out, come on, you don't go on a battlefield with a bunch of people singing and praising the Lord. What were they saying? They went out, that's what it said, they went out singing, praise ye the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Nobody was out there saying, Lord, you know, we're about to be annihilated. You know, be with my family and my loved ones because I'm gone. You know, I don't know. The object of their praise was the God who we're saying, who is like our God? The object of their praise was the living God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of battles. And I'm not saying they didn't see the enemy. I don't know, but I know one thing. God was over there like, this is the moment I've been waiting for. And like he said, the Lord God set up an ambush. The Lord ambushed him. How many, you know, the Bible teaches that the enemy lies in wait for us to trap us or to ambush us or to hurt us, right? This is just what the Lord did to them. He put up an ambush and blasted a man, and they started killing each other and they destroyed each other. I'm saying this is a good reason to praise the Lord. When we're in a battle, to start praising the Lord. Because he's good. And because his mercy endures forever. You get going on that and God's going to start rolling up his sleeves. And he's going to set an ambush against your enemies. He's going to annihilate them. All right? He'll let me know. I got to hurry up here. Okay, all right. How about when it's dark? How about at midnight? Paul and Silas, you know the story. Book of Acts, chapter 16, 25. These guys have been beaten. I mean, you know, whipped. They're bloody. They're in a nasty pit. This is not a nice place. And at midnight, it says they began to praise the Lord and sing hymns. What happened? God got down there and he shook that place. And I'm saying this, you know, you can disagree with me and that's okay. And I don't want to argue about it, but something happened in Philippi that night, my friend. They were praising the Lord in their dark time. Salvation came to town. Salvation came to town. It released salvation into that city, and it set the captives free. Do you think praising the Lord is a game for kids? Forget it. It's not. It's for, it is for us kids, us children of God. It is powerful. When we praise the Lord, when we're in tough times, God has to sit back and say, look at that. You know what I mean? He said, hey, some of you guys, go over, look at these guys. They are in a tough spot, and they're praising. They're praising. Let's go down there and wipe that thing out. Let's go down there and bring an ambush on that situation. Are you with me? Praising the Lord. Oh, my goodness. There aren't too many days, especially if you're living in self-denial, that you don't have challenges. You know, aside from all the other stuff that comes at us, we got plenty of it. And this is the time to praise the Lord, my friend. Praise the Lord while you're in this battle, while you're in this environment here, right? All right. Okay. Let's get into some words here. Psalm 100. This is one. I'm going to give you some words. There's more than eight of them, Jeff. I'll tell you, every time I start looking them up, they're so fun. Psalm 100, verse 4. King James, please. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Okay, I broke it down here. If you've got it, or you probably got it memorized. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, this in the Hebrew is the word, you're not going to remember this, but you might. Todah. Everybody say Todah. This is involves raising your hands. But it also involves the thought of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise, where you just don't feel like praising the Lord. You're not having a good day. You're broke, or your car broke down. I mean, anything. But this one is talking about, you know, in the New Testament refers back to this. That's why we enter continually the sacrifice of praise. We're offering it continually. So it's like, this is a... many times used in the Old Testament. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Tehillah. The word praise there is tehillah, which is a hymn, a song of adoration, and one that we sing lots of. It's a good song. But if you go back to the word courts there, we enter the gates. That's like we're coming onto the property, okay? But when you come down to the courts, it's a different place. It's a more intimate place. It's a place where there's a yard. It's like there's a little gate you go through. So you're moving from one place with the Lord into another place. As you continue with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and the sacrifice of praise, you end up coming into a different place of intimacy with God through praise. We're not even talking about worship yet. You're just getting in the house here, you know what I'm saying? And it says, and be thankful unto him, yada. Here's my favorite for the kids, yada. This is what it's raising your hands with thanksgiving, with praise. Yada. It's kind of a friend of Todah there, but it doesn't involve sacrifice. It's just being thankful. And unto him and bless his name. Okay. Bless his name. The word bless, usually, if you're reading it, it's the word barak. It means to kneel. To kneel in adoration. And how often do we want to do that? And the thing is, it's not a religious ritual thing we go through to kneel before the Lord. It blesses me anytime I see someone, but kneeling before the Lord and adoring him, there's something that moves your heart. And Jenna, God bless you, sweetie. I mean, I was over here on my knees, and, you know, I didn't know you were here on your knees, but, you know, it's okay to get on your knees in church, folks. That's all I'm saying. I feel like, you know, when you get to know this God who is like our God, when you start getting to know him, you want to be more involved in praising him. There's something right about, I want to praise the Lord more. I want to spin and whirl and twirl wildly. There's been times I wasn't free to do that, Jeff. And my wife and we have fun with that. I'm on video. Okay, can I just tell him? Can I tell you real quick? It's on video, okay? I was captured live. There was 1,000 people probably. All of them were dancing, waving their hands and shouting. And I mean, it was a powerful time. I was over there going like this. Everything in me wanted to dance, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do. And I stood there, and I'm telling you, that was Leonard Jones was doing the, I left that place, and I'm going to tell you something. That was the last time that ever happened to me. That was the last time I said, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free to offer you this body, a living sacrifice, so you can have everything I have to give you, because you're worthy. Oh, God, you're worthy. Real quick, now, I'm almost done. Psalm 95, verse 2. I got to read this one, because let us come before his presence. That's what praise is all about, is coming into his presence, always coming into his presence. I lost it. There it is. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Todah. Again, Todah. With sacrifice, okay? And make a joyful noise unto him with songs. Joyful noise here is ruah. Now you know why we're trying to scare our kids and go, ruah. Because it means to shout. Shouting is a big part. I'm telling you something. There's a verse in Proverbs that says there's great glory when the men shout. What would it be like if all the men get up in here one day and just shout? You know, this Hallel. We're going to go to Hallel and I'll finish it up here. Hallel is the word for praise that's used the most times. If you read Psalm 150, we'll read 150 here. The word for praise, when the Hebrew word Hallel is where we get our word hallelujah. It means to shine or to boast, to celebrate, to look like you're out of your mind, if I can put it in plain English. I've been there. I kind of live there sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Hallel is such a cool word, but most of the time that's the word in the Hebrew when you read through your Psalms. Probably about over half, definitely over half. It's Hallel. Crazy praise, some people like to call it. It's okay to praise the Lord, especially when you're with the other brothers and sisters. It's time to praise the Lord. Let's get together and rock. Let's celebrate. Let's shout. Let's dance. Let's whatever, you know. Nobody gets hurt, right? That's all he told you. Everybody has to run the same direction, right? You guys, any of you guys remember that? Running is not a question. Let's just say that real quick. Give me about 2 more minutes, okay? I said I wouldn't do that. Running is not a question. The issue is make sure we all are running the same direction. That way nobody gets hurt, okay? And it worked. I mean, for years, they're going to run. They're going to do cartwheels. I mean, these children just went crazy. It was just powerful. And anyway, okay, Psalm 150. Notice this is so cool because God calls creation to praise him. I read this to my wife. I've had so much fun preparing for this. Thank you for letting me join on this today. I did not realize how many times creation is called on to praise God or that they are praising God. You heavens, praise him. Shout, earth, shout. Break forth in the song, mountains, forest, and every tree. I tell my, he had to tell